thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, and I am your host. Will T and Ray are out, so I'm not here with my compadres, but, you know, I'm going to hold it down. I got a bunch of guests, so it's going to make this show quite entertaining. Also, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. I'm thinking about our other show, All Against Everything, with the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you check that out. That's our Reds Against podcast on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. So make sure you check it out. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say this. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. The defending Stanley Cup champions, Washington Capitals, are struggling a little bit. We'll have WNST's Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the show at 8:20. Darian D.H. Williams, host of Win or Lose Radio podcast, will join me to preview the Super Bowl at 8:30. NBA All-Star reserves will be selected Thursday. I'll talk about Washington Wizards guard Bradley Beal's chances on being selected. At 8:40, host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armon Lee, will jump on the show to talk about possible NBA All-Star reserves. Finally, at 8:50, I'll talk about WBA super welterweight champ Keith Thurman defeating Josito Lopez Saturday night. It was a challenge. That was a competitive fight, which it shouldn't have been. But right now, I have WNXT's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the line. What's up, Ed?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. How are you on this snowy night?
I know it's we're fine. You know, the forecast had it sticking a little bit. It hasn't stuck on the streets on this end. Has it on your side of town?
Yeah, I'm up here in Ellicott City. We got it covered a little bit. It's not too bad.
Yeah. I know it's as long as it's not like what we had a couple weeks ago, I'm okay.
I'm with you.
Okay. So let's get right into it. We haven't had you on for a while. You know, I mean, I was still in the glow of the Washington Capitals winning the Stanley Cup, but right now they're struggling. How in the world are the Caps on a 7-game losing streak?
Well, that's a great question. And I think there's multiple facets to that. And to be honest with you, yeah, it does make it easier to lose 7 in a row when you still have the cup.
It does, doesn't it though?
It does. It really does.
You're playing with house
money.
In past
years, people would be losing their minds around
exactly.
Here, right? You guys know. You guys are on Twitter. You follow the buzz.
Of course.
You have your finger on the pulse. Mm-hmm. You know how panicked this fan base can get. And in the past, this might have been a lot. It would have been a lot crazier. But it's pretty calm right now. Mm-hmm. People realize that it's a long season. They're coming up off a Stanley Cup win. They had a short summer. They had a very good start to the season. I mean,
yes,
they're still only 3 points out of first.
Mm-hmm.
But they did hit a wall. And my biggest theory on what's going wrong is they hit fatigue, mental and physical.
Mm-hmm.
Come every year, and you guys, I know you guys follow the NBA quite a bit, but there's a time when the game switches because it is a long season.
Agreed.
And teams start playing better defense, and teams start clamping down. And that usually comes around January 1st in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened in the NHL and the Capitals, who had a pretty easy first half of the year. I mean, mm-hmm. they were cruising pretty easy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A lot of open style hockey that fits their skill set. We all know they can play that clamp down set, but they hit January 1st and teams started clamping down, and the Capitals, they just didn't have the energy for it. And I think that's the biggest problem. I think everybody's anxious to see how things are going to come out of the break here, starting Friday night with Calgary. They got a 6-game homestand coming out where they're not traveling. They've had a lot of tough back-to-backs during that stretch. They need to. Hopefully they got some rest and they got rejuvenated. But to me, the problem started on the ice with the way they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest problem was the way the forwards were playing, was they were coming down and getting across the blue line and forcing the pass to the middle of the ice. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like kind of like, you know, NBA, you're coming down on like a 2 or 3-on-1, and you're trying to make the pass instead of taking the shot when you have it and hoping the other guy gets a rebound or something to that effect. And when you start forcing the passes, and especially when things clamp down, those other teams know to guard the middle of the ice against the Capitals, and that really hurt them, and that really got the puck going the other way. And I think that was the biggest problem with the team.
See, that's funny you say that, because I used to have an issue with the Caps in the past where I thought they were playing too pretty in terms of passing. They weren't shooting the puck enough. I used to always complain, like, Just shoot the puck, put it at the net. Maybe you can get a rebound, and you can get a putback in. But so is that? So you're telling me that's still happening right now?
Yeah, you're absolutely. You're all over it. Mm-hmm. And the Capitals had that problem. Now what they do like to do is they don't like to just shoot the puck. Like there's teams that will just shoot the puck, guys. Mm-hmm. That will just take shot after shot after shot. You know, kind of like a team in basketball that will just keep shooting threes. Figuring they're gonna make, you know, a certain amount of them to keep themselves in the game. In hockey, you really can't do that. You really have to be smart about when you take your shots. Mm-hmm. And the Capitals were very good at generating quality chances. But to generate those quality chances, you've got to put the puck either on the net or behind the net and then outwork the other team's D. And they got lazy. I mean, they got if the fatigue theory is right, we should see this go away and they'll start playing the right way. But that's one of the things they learned. Coach Trotz had them learn when he was here was, look, you've got to get the puck deep. And Lane Lambert was a very good offensive system assistant coach. And the Capitals did a very good job of working the puck down low, cycling the other team's D and forwards to draw them down. And then that's when you can go to that high slot and get that quality shot. And that's what they're not doing right now. They're not spending the extra effort, and I think it's due to fatigue, to work to get the quality shot. Every team now walls off the middle of the ice, and that's, you know, it takes hard work to generate those shots.
So, I mean, obviously people, and you mentioned, you know, Coach Trotz, but obviously people will look at the coach in Todd Reirden. How much fault should he get for this losing streak? And is this team missing Coach Trotz?
Well, I think there's no doubt they're missing Coach Trotz and again, Lane Lambert and Mitch Korn were, these guys had 20 years experience in the NHL. And I like Todd Reirden. I think he's a good coach. You look at what the configuration was on that coaching staff last year. You had Trotz, who had 20 years experience in the NHL as a head coach. You had Lane Lambert, who had, you know, years and years of experience with Trotz on the forwards. And then you had Todd Reirden, who had a lot of years on defense.
Mm-hmm.
You take Trotz and Lambert out of the equation, and now Reirden bumps up to the head coach, so he's not working the D. I mean, Michael Kempney said Todd Reirden was one of the biggest reasons his career turned around, how good he was with the D.
Yeah.
When you're the head coach, your role changes. You have to move up. You can't just focus on the defense. You can't just focus on special teams. He has to manage the whole team. And they brought Reed Cashman up from Hershey. He's a rookie assistant coach. Scott Arneil came in. Now he's worked with Alan Vigneault, and he's worked with, you know, with the Rangers and Vancouver. He actually coached the Manitoba Moose when the Hershey Bears, with a lot of these guys like Carlson and Holpe, beat them back in 2009 for the AHL Cup, the Calder Cup. So he's got a lot of experience, but, you know, the jury's out. The jury's out on this coaching staff. And one of the things I didn't like was what I felt was a little bit of a panic move. When they were in the middle of a losing streak about three games in, he switched the D pairs. And he moved Carlson with Orlov and Niskanen in with Kempney. And Carlson and Orlov have been paired together before, and that just doesn't work. Mm. You've got two guys that need to have the ball. It's like a basketball. You got two point guards on the ice. They both got to have the ball. You can't split the ball. One guy has to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to be on different shifts. I know Orlov has just struggled mightily. Kuznetsov had a great start to the game at center. He's been terrible. Lars Eller has not had a good year. So Nick Backstrom's been great. Ovechkin's been fantastic.
Oh, been amazing. Ovechkin has been amazing.
Can you imagine where they are if he didn't have 37 goals?
I agree. You know what? And it's funny because you remember, like, I want to say like three years ago, or even maybe more than that, folks thought he was done. Like, they thought, you know, Ovechkin, he's not the same guy. He's not as impactful. But look at him now. It's just amazing. Like, even with Father Time, Ovechkin is undefeated. With Father Time, Ovechkin is undefeated.
He's an amazing athlete.
He sure is.
He has gotten himself in amazing shape the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you guys know, but you know he had a newborn last summer, so he's had to make adjustments to that. And he was tired. He even admitted he was tired. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to play Friday night because he's got to take the suspension.
Yeah.
But this team is nowhere without him right now. He has been fantastic. I really like the way Backstrom's played. Again, Tom Wilson, after missing,
he's been good.
He had 20-game suspension, reduced to 14, but didn't come till after we played 16. Tom's been good. And the goalies covered a lot of stuff. They had that stretch where they went 16-3 right before the losing streak, and the goalies really played well. But what happens to the goalies is when you break your structure down and you're giving up breakaways and odd man rushes, and guys like Orlov are not playing well defensively, and guys are going around them, the goalies are going to start breaking down because they don't know where the shots are coming from. It's a system game at this point, and I think that's really hurt Holpe and Copley because Copley's been fantastic.
Sure
he's
has.
been better the first half than Grubauer was last year. So let's hope it's a fatigue thing. We're going to know here in the first several games, first five, six games here out of the break. Is this a fatigue thing, or does Mac need to go out and do something? I'm in the camp right now. It's a fatigue thing. Mm-hmm. These guys know how to play. They just got to get back to playing it. Guys like Connolly got to go back to playing well. Eller, now Kuznetsov, he and Orlov are probably the guys I'm down on the most the way they played this year. Those two guys have got to get back into the game now. Kuznetsov had a concussion, and you could trace the drop off to his game from that. But those two guys have got to get going.
Wow, he was on pace to have a breakout season. You're listening to the Urban Sports here right now. We have WNST's Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the line. So Ed, I have a question from one of our listeners. Just posted it on our Facebook page. George states George's question is, what's the possibility of Todd Reirden getting fired? A little premature, George. I think that's a little, you're jumping the gun. And should the Caps hire former Blackhawks coach Joel Quenneville?
Well, that's a great question. I don't think he should be fired right now. I think the Capitals have a lot of faith in him. They certainly didn't want to pay Barry Trotz $4 to $5 million a year to coach, and Joel Quenneville was making $6 million a year. So I don't think they're willing to then spend more on Quenneville than they would have Trotz. At least at this point, I think they want to give Todd the chance to work through it, and I think he deserves the chance to work through it, especially with a fatigue team. He's a rookie head coach. And that's the thing Barry Trotz had, the 20 years of experience knowing when to push and when to back off these guys so they didn't burn out. I think it's something Todd's learning. And so I don't see a coaching change coming here within the next 10 games. Let's see where these 10 games go. And if they don't go well, then I think that's a question that needs to be answered by Capitals management.
But I will say this to your point about fatigue and so forth. My thing about this start is that the Caps are now the hunted. So usually in any sport, when you're trying to defend a championship, this tends to happen. I feel like people they're panicking a little bit too much in terms of comparing it to last season. The Caps are in a different role right now. They are the hunted. I feel like once they get to a point where it's clutch time, I think everything will come in place.
Well, that's a fantastic point that they are the hunted. I mean, and they talked about, we've been the hunted before. Mm. And they have. I mean, everybody knows about Ovechkin and these guys, but they've never been the cup chasers.
Exactly.
And it's a different
agreed
role. I mean, every sport, every team has to learn how to deal with it. I don't care what sport it is.
Mm-hmm.
Every team is circling that game on their calendar, and they want to beat you because you won the cup.
Exactly.
And that is, I firmly believe you're absolutely right, that the fatigue of facing every team's best game every night has built up from that. There's no doubt about it. The other teams are playing them harder. They're playing them more physical. And you can't play the way they played in the playoffs, all 82 games.
You can't do it.
So they have to find a way to get that energy back up. We've got 32 games left to go here. They're fortunate that the division's a little weaker, although some teams are coming up with Carolina and of course the Islanders are the surprise of the league, but we knew how good Coach Trotz was.
Exactly. He's a championship coach, right?
Yeah. I've known him since the 80s when he was a scout for the Capitals. I know how good of a coach he is. I was absolutely disappointed when they couldn't work it out, but that's the business side of sports, as we all know too well.
So you talked about management. So, I mean, this team isn't playing well at the moment. Is there a trade out there that they can make, or that you will like that you're thinking of for this team to kind of change momentum?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about moving Andre Burakovsky because he's $3 million last year, $3 million of a restricted free agent deal. He's a restricted free agent again this summer, and I don't know that he's going to get $3 million unless he steps up these last 32 games. The guy certainly has the ability to do it.
Doesn't he, though? He is so skilled.
We've certainly seen him do it in the playoffs.
He is so skilled. Like, he's fast. He skates well. I look at him as a guy that should be a 25, 30 points, 30 goal scorer. Because I just think he's very skilled.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And he has the body to do it. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is his head tends to get in the way of himself sometimes. He gets down on himself. And I don't understand that, guys, because he is very well liked in that locker room. He's very tight with Tom Wilson. Ovechkin and Brooks Orpik are very close with him and kind of father him. He just needs to get out of his own way. The guy can play. We saw what he could do in Game 7 when he scored those two huge goals to take a 1-0 game, make it 3-0, put the Capitals in the Stanley Cup Finals. 2 years ago when the Capitals had that heartbreaking loss to the Penguins in Game 7, one of the reasons, and Ovechkin was hurt in that series, one of the reasons the Capitals got back in that series down 3-1 was because of Andrei Burakovsky playing with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie. So I'm in the mindset right now that you don't want to trade when you're down, right?
Yeah.
You don't trade low. You buy low, sell high. Yes. I think they got to give these guys, and Burakovsky's showing some signs of working out of it. He was one of the better players the last few games.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Verana has certainly passed him on the depth chart. I mean, that guy works hard. He's just been fabulous. 15 goals. He's just been a major plus. He's right up there in some of the best performances of the season in terms of Verana. Burakovsky has that skill set. He doesn't have the speed that Verana has, but he's still fast. But he has a physical size to him that he can use along the boards. And the Capitals really need this Burakovsky, Lars Eller, Brett Connolly line to get going again. That's one of the reasons they were able to win the Cup last year. That line has struggled more than anything.
Well, this has been a great conversation. So, Ed, before I let you go, tell our listeners about WNST and your Caps content on the station, on the network, excuse me.
I appreciate it. You usually can find some blogs of mine out at WNST.net, and I'm always talking Caps on Twitter, at Ed Frankovic. Appreciate you guys inviting me on and retweeting my stuff, and big fan of you guys, and keep up the good work, keeping the good sports talk going around in the area.
Hey, Ed, your family. I will always retweet your stuff. If I see it, I'm going to retweet.
Likewise.
All right, Ed, thanks again. Hope that we're going to have you on throughout the season.
Hey, anytime. You know how to find me, and I'll come on anytime for you guys.
Ed, you know I appreciate you big time.
Hey, anytime, buddy.
All
right. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Again, that is Ed Frankovic, Cap Insider for WNST. So make sure you check him out. Check his content. Ed is great on social media. He writes great articles for the network. So make sure you check him out. Again, I love talking to Ed. That's my guy. Ed is my guy. The Super Bowl goes down in the ATL Sunday. DH, host of Win or Lose Radio Podcast, will join me to discuss the bowl after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Welcome to Atlanta's hammers and bows, back to the Mackin' and the clothes, adolescents packing a knock on the door.
Who is it?
I would happen to know, the one with the flow.
Who did it?
It was me, I suppose. JD in the rolls and looters in the cut supreme. Skating down old Nat, tucked and lean. Just bling, as a matter of fact, I the team. No blood on the sneaks, gotta keep it so my kicks is clean. I get the cream, cops see me flick my beans. I'm allergic to doc prescribed and a histamine. Oink, oink, pig, do away with the pork. Only silverware I need is a steak knife and a fork. Did you forget the manners? I'm Bruce with banners. Ludacris, Johnny Rockets when I the cannon. The woolly mammoth, saber tooth, bite your tongue. I won't stop until I'm rich as them whites will come. I pull up in a black Lotus, your plaques are bogus. So I strip them off the wall, waiting for my cue to corner pocket eight ball. You racking them up, I'm big paper like pancakes, stacking them up. In fact, I'm slapping them up. Cadillac is a truck, I can't lose with 22s. That's what's up. Running in the back of better than this, the aqueduct.
What y'all know about Welcome to Atlanta, Luda? Welcome to Atlanta. The Super Bowl goes down in ATL. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally. I'm your host. Will T and Ray are out. Make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's a great show. Matter of fact, I believe next week, Ray and myself will be on the show. I think it'll be around 8:30, so you make sure you check it out. Right now, I have host of Win or Lose Radio Podcast, Darian, a.k.a. DH, on the line. What's up, Darian? What's up, DH? I'm going to call you DH. What's up, DH?
Wally, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. So I got to call you DH now? That's what we're doing? I mean, I know we play basketball or something different, but I'm going to call you DH now.
It's whatever works, man. Whatever works.
Well, DH is cool, man. That means I don't got to say a lot. You know what I mean? DH is simple.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
All right. So on Sunday, man, Super Bowl 53 goes down in the ATL. Matter of fact, I play Welcome to Atlanta, so you already know how I feel. What matchups are you most interested in that game?
Oh, man, I think you can't look no further than the coaching matchup. I mean, you got the veteran, Bill Belichick, going up against the young gun, Sean McVay. which those two are kind of the same if you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
They're both savants at what they do. They're very detail oriented. I would say Shaman Vega got a little more personality.
Oh, a lot, man. You got that look.
Right. but I think they have similar styles. The way they coach and the way they motivate their guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wouldn't know it, but a lot of people love playing with Bill Belichick because he's the winner.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people do like playing for him.
And then McVay, people love playing for him because of his energy and his age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's close to our age, you know. So he's a guy that kind of can get guys motivated to play. And I think look no further there. I mean, that's the A versus B. That's the, you know, that's the Hogan and Warrior, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the matchup that I'm really looking forward to, among others.
No, I'm with you. I think that's a great matchup. Obviously, young versus old, you know what I mean? New school, old school. But both, like you said, both are savants, though. You know what I mean? They take their craft very serious. A match that I like, that I'm interested in this game is the Pats offensive line versus the Rams defensive line. I mean, everybody's fixated, obviously, on the both of the offenses because McVay is a genius when it comes to offense, and you got Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady. But when you look at teams that have typically given Tom Brady's issues are guys that can get pressure up the middle. And then you got two nasty big boys in the middle. They are playing great ball in the postseason. You got Sue, who throughout the season was, people didn't see his true impact. But in the postseason, you've seen the impact of a Dominic Sue. He looks like the same dude that we saw in Detroit, not in Miami, but in Detroit. And then we all know about how good Aaron Donald is. I mean, this is probably the best defensive player in the league by far, and could arguably be the MVP of the league. So when you look at those two going against Tom Brady, putting pressure up the middle against Tom Brady, they can do that, man. Like that could be big for that team to hoist the Lombardi Trophy.
Look at it like this. In the previous years where Tom Brady has been to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl, he's relatively been able to. And I think in any offensive scheme, that's the key, being able to keep your quarterback upright, to be able to stay on his feet and make passes. If you're able to get him flustered, because we saw even a little bit in Kansas City in that playoff game, if you get to him and get your hands on him, kind of throw him off a little bit. I mean, he's still Tom Brady, like we said at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're able to kind of get to him and kind of touch him a little bit, kind of throw him off his routine, I think that can help you. And with the Rams having a nice linebackers in the secondary, you know, if they can look alive and make some plays on the football, I mean, I think it might be a great advantage for them. I don't think we really saw initially, like you said, the impact that Ngamaka and Sue had on this squad because they did have Aaron Donald. But Sue has stepped up big in the playoffs, and he allowed just another body to go against someone else to help Aaron Donald get in the backfield.
I agree. Even getting Dante Fowler, you know what I mean? Like, you saw the big play he made against Drew Brees in the overtime. Saints, y'all need to stop complaining. It's getting ridiculous. But, you know what I mean? Like, when you got a line like that, I mean, they don't need the blitz Tom Brady, that's definitely could put them over the top. But, if they want to, I feel like you have to blitz Tom Brady to a certain extent. So, but
you have to make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. But if they can get pressure, if Sue and Aaron Donald can do what they've been doing in the postseason as a combo, I think Tom Brady could have issues in the Super Bowl. So, who do you think is going to win, and tell me why?
Okay, you want the true answer,
I want the DH real, man. We hoop, man. All right,
you
we
got
like kids.
Here we go. I'm gonna give you the real answer. I want the Rams to win because I'm tired of seeing the Patriots in the conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay,
I mean,
even though they lost last year, I mean, to be able to get back, let's not discredit the fact that the Patriots have been able to get to so many, whether win or lose.
Yeah.
Cheap plug. Well, win or lose, you know, they're able to still get there. You know what I mean? And I think that's important, even for the legacy. Like, we still talk about the Buffalo Bills, even though they didn't win the four Super Bowls, they're still able to get the four straight, which is a hard feat. But I'm really, I want the narrative to change. I really want to see the Patriots era slow down or end, because I think, in my opinion, I think the Chiefs would have been a better matchup.
Oh,
I think it would have been more exciting.
I agree.
I think people would have really been looking forward to that, especially based off how they played that game earlier this year. But I think the Rams are going to win it, and I really think this will usher in a new era of different type of football, maybe even open some doors for some younger coaches to kind of get in there, and people really, the teams will really take a shot on some younger guys going forward. But I think the Rams are going
to
do it.
I agree with everything you said. I'm gonna take it to the next level, because you know, folks call me a hater, so I can hate. I don't care. Like, I'm sick of the Patriots. It is what it is.
Right.
Like, I want the Rams to win because I can't stand the Patriots. Tom Brady annoys me. Bill Belichick is like the GOAT of coaching. I'll say it as a Joe Gibbs dude. I'll say it. Belichick's the GOAT of coaching, but I'm sick of it. Like, I'm just sick of it. Like, you got the easiest division in the world, so it's easy to get like 10, 12 wins. When you have it's
every year,
when you got the best coach in the world, and I'm gonna say the best coach because he can win with Matt Castle, so he's the best coach in the world. When you got the best coach in the world, and then in the easy division, and you always get a bye, your chances against the Super Bowl every year is easy. But again, you have one of the best quarterbacks of all time too, so I'm not taking that away from Tom Brady. But like, I'm sick of it. It's getting annoying. You know, like, it's annoying. Just how Saints fans are annoyed with referees, I'm annoyed with the Patriots. Like,
the Patriots never had really any hurdles to go over within a division. Only those 2 years
with the Jets.
When the Jets played pretty solid.
Exactly.
But if you think about it, out of the last 20 years,
come on, man,
they've pretty much had an easy road. When you think about the other divisions where they would go worst to first, those always, like, even just think of the NFC East.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's always a new team coming out of division every year. And I think the Patriots have had it easy. So I'm really looking forward to seeing if the Rams can get over the hump, get it done. And I really want some other teams to come up. And I think we got a taste of that with Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to see what they do going forward and maybe try to dethrone this Patriots dynasty.
I hope it's a team in the AFC East. Y'all need to get y'all weight up, man. Seriously.
That's get it together.
Get it together, bro. Get it together. So we posted a question I posted a question, who will win the Super Bowl and why? Same thing I asked DH. I'm going to call you DH. DH, man. Same thing I asked DH on Facebook and Twitter. And also, if you want to, you know, if you're listening to the show right now, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene or check out the Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. On our Facebook page, Greg Gaines said the Patriots by a field goal. My man Zach on Facebook said posted Patriots because of Tom Brady. Duh. Yeah, of course. Everybody loves Tom Brady. I get you. Tom Brady's great. He's terrific. He has a model chick. It's all good. Michael D. Rush posted the Patriots by a late game pass interference call. Shots
at
the Saints. You know what I'm saying? Saints, shots fired. Ernest posted Patriots because, well, they are the Patriots. He added Rams because of McVay. He is special and has a special group talent-wise, and if they can score 35-plus, they win. On Twitter, I got a conspiracy. Okay, on Twitter, my man T. Living tweeted, Patriots because the league owes them for throwing the game last year. The Patriots threw the game last year so a backup quarterback could win the Super Bowl to prove that Cap wasn't blackballed. I got a conspiracy. It's real out here. So Cap wasn't blackballed. It's all about Cap. I love it, man. It's all about Cap. Cap gets all of your attention, even during the Super Bowl, man. I love Cap too, but still, man, you reached with that one, my man. That was a reach, and I love Cap.
A big reach.
That's a reach. Reach. Hey, DH, you can stay with me after the break.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. On Thursday, will Bradley Beal become an all-star? We'll discuss that after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. I got loyalty.
Conception, I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are.
You just use a. Kendrick's my dude. I love DNA. Love that song. All right. You know who has strong DNA? My man Bradley Beal. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally. I'm your host, Ray and Will Tier out. But I got my man, host of Win or Lose Radio Podcast, DH, on the line. So I'm good. I'm safe. What's up, DH, man? I'll make sure people still hear me. You know
what's happening, man? I'm still here.
I'm good, man. He ain't leave me, man. I'm saying my homies left me. You know what I'm saying? My other homies left me. You know,
nah, man, my man, I can't leave you hanging.
I appreciate you. Just when I throw them assists to you, be hitting them J's. I feel you, man.
Hey, man, you know, I got to get my groove back. Man. It's coming soon. The J is coming back soon.
All right, good, man. We need you out there, man. We love your morale, man. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, brother. Thank
you. All right. The reserves for the NBA All-Star game comes out Thursday. Bradley Beal, obviously, is a guy who wants to be one of those reserves because he wasn't deemed a starter. So when it comes to being an NBA All-Star, is Bradley Beal a sure thing to you?
In my opinion, I do believe he is a sure thing. Right now, he's 11th in scoring right now in the league, averaging 24.6 a game. Mm-hmm. And then you got to look at the stuff that's really not on paper. You look at when John went down, you know, Brad kind of stepped up.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened last year.
Yeah.
That's when the whole everybody eats thing came around, where people who really didn't know where it came from didn't really understand.
Yeah.
But I think the way Brad plays without John is a different type of Brad. In my opinion, I think that's Brad kind of stepping into his own.
Mm-hmm.
He instantly stepped up, became a leader. I believe his scoring output, turned up. And the Wizards are a different ball club with John out. They kind of rely more on Brad, and Brad is a little free, you know, mm-hmm. to do what he needs to do. But to answer your question, I do believe Brad should be in there. As a given, in my opinion. But, you know, nothing is given in sports. But I think he should definitely be in it.
No, I'm with you. I think Brad should be an all-star. If you look at, you mentioned where he's at in terms of scoring. But if you think about, you know, between amongst shooting guards, especially since Oladipo's out, James Harden is the only two guard that averages more than Bradley Beal. You know, so,
yeah.
And if you're looking at it, and, you know, James Harden, you can say point guard, but he's a two guard. He's a scorer. James Harden's really a two guard.
Yeah.
So, like, Bradley Beal is the second leading scorer in terms of amongst two guards. So, to me, he's an all-star. Now, it's funny because if you asked me before John Wall's injury, I wouldn't have said Bradley Beal is an all-star, knowing that, you know, even what he did last year. But he turned it on, you know. And that game against Toronto was like, that's when I saw Bradley Beal in a different light. When he scored 40 with a triple-double, I was like, okay, this is an all-star. Like, like checked the box. Like, you're an all-star. You know what I mean? And all credit to him, because when he first broke into the league, he was a guy to me that couldn't go ISO. Like, his pat wasn't strong enough. Now, if you look at him, his pat's strong. He goes to the bucket and finishes well when he goes to the bucket. To me, he's just now, more than a shooter, he's just a flat-out scorer.
I agree. And I think for Brad and his career going forward, I think John being out, of course, we don't want anybody to go down or be hurt, but I think it's really helping Brad grow as a player and mm-hmm. as a leader. Because when your star goes out, let's not hold any punches. John Wall is a star of the Wizards. That's John Wall's
team. Oh, man,
team,
I agree.
You know, and that's his squad.
Yeah.
But for him to go down two consecutive years and then have Brad step in into that role, you know, even if he didn't want to,
mm-hmm.
that's what he was going to be looked upon as. He was going to be looked upon as the next guy. Because after that, you know, I don't think people look. You're looking at your high money guys as your guy.
Yeah,
right.
Agree. Uh-huh.
And you know, people kind of don't look at Otto Porter that
no,
way.
Don't they? Hate
you know what I mean?
It's all good though.
Don't I know you're an Otto guy.
Yeah, look, man, guy. I'm an Otto guy, but I'm a basket. Like to me. My thing, all right, so I'm going to tangent with this one. So my thing about, like, Otto is not that I look at Otto as, like, a superstar. I'm not even putting him on the level as an all-star. But
yeah.
There's a keeper, certain guys that play basketball the right way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just because other guys want to jack and gun and one guy plays it the right way, I'm not a big fan of plus and minuses, but when you look at Otto's, like, stats, it's overwhelming in terms of how big of a plus he is for this team rather than a minus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, so, like, he's not – is he worth the money? No, but the market dictates that. Y'all need to get over that. Like, the market just dictated that. That's not any – are you mad?
There's a lot of people with a lot of money right now who don't have –
exactly. It's not like he Mahimi. Like, Mahimi is, like, grossly overpaid. Like, that's a dude that doesn't even get in games sometimes. Like, Otto is an impact player for you, for your team. You know what I mean? When Otto doesn't play, this team isn't better. Look, I mean, right now – and this is an example. Like, everybody hates that John Wall's out. They're losing 61-79 to the freaking Cleveland Cavaliers. And everybody, like, stays saying, like, this team is so much better without John Wall. You're losing by 18 to the freaking Cleveland Cavaliers. This is not LeBron's Cleveland Cavaliers.
who have gone like and won two games
exactly.
out of 20, something like that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like, but again, back to like Bill, like I commend Bill though. Like I'm all for a guy who works hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you see it. Like you see the work. Like when you look at Bradley Beal, you see the work. You can't hate on that. You can't.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of what you want to see in him. You want to see how he's going to react in these adverse situations. Mm-hmm. I think that's really what you want to see out of your guys that you may have been on the fence about. Because remember, there was talks about Brad possibly being moved because he is an asset.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now that you kind of see him step into this role that he stepped into, you can't move Brad.
No, you can't move
you
him.
Know,
I
don't think he's not, he shouldn't even be on the table. He shouldn't even be in the conversation to be moved because of his style of play and how he stepped up. Yeah. I really think, and this may be an unpopular opinion, but I think if you want to build a team around a guy, you know, that you already have in your building, I think Brad would be the guy to build that team around because he has proven that everybody does eat and that his style of play can help everybody on the floor versus a run-and-gun style that can sometimes be OC and sometimes not be what the team needs at the moment. That's just my opinion.
No, I'm not. I think that's a fair assessment. I look at it like this. I mean, I'm pro John Wall. I think John, like you said, I think John Wall started the team, the best player on the team. But I will say this though, you know, like who are you gonna get more for? Like if you put John Wall in market, you get more back. It is what it is. So if you wanted to trade John Wall, if you really want to blow it up, and you want to, you know, get younger assets, you know, draft picks or whatnot, you trade John Wall. And I say this as a guy who is supportive of Otto Porter, you should trade Otto Porter if you get an opportunity to. Like you should. Like, you should trade
everybody but Brad. Everybody can go but Brad.
Yeah, everybody but Brad. I mean, Brad, I think Brad deserves to stay. I mean, I think they should keep Wall and Bill. I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie about that. But definitely, Brad should definitely stay. But if you want to get rid of, like, I mean, if you want to get rid of a contract, because Brad, I mean, as much as I love John Wall, and I love John Wall's game, but he's overpaid, though. I won't even lie. He's overpaid as well. A Supermax.
I didn't say that.
A Supermax, you know, if you're getting a Supermax. A Supermax was made for people like LeBron James,
right?
Like Anthony Davis,
the A guys. No question.
Exactly,
no question.
That's who they're meant for. Kyrie, like not, and I like and Steph. Shoot, I'm using Steph and KD. Like I don't even.
Yeah,
they're meant for those guys. As much as I like John Wall, and I've always defended John Wall, he's not that guy.
You said that. I mean the market dictates what they get paid. And that 2 years ago when everybody was getting overpaid and everybody knew that, you know, some of these guys shouldn't have got that money. Like Mike Conley, I think, is a great player, but no way he should have got that type of bread.
And I love Mike Conley. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Same thing. Hey, but Diz, before I let you go, let our listeners know about your podcast and what you and your social media too.
Look, everybody out there, you can follow me on all social media sites at Win and Lose Radio. You can also follow me on my personal at DH_major, and the A is instead of an A, it's a V. I know it's complicated, but we'll tweet it out. But the Win and Lose Radio podcast is coming back soon. We've been on a little hiatus because life happens. But the Win and Lose Radio podcast is coming back soon. We've done better than ever. And I just can't wait for everybody here. But I appreciate you having me on tonight, Wally.
Oh man, I appreciate you. Hey, y'all, check out his podcast when it comes out. And he's going to give me the info, and I'm going to share it to you all so y'all can make sure y'all subscribe to it on Google Play, iTunes, all that social media, all that podcast junk.
Everywhere. And the archived episodes are on YouTube currently.
All right, cool.
So if you go to youtube.com/winandloseradio, you can see all old episodes, even our episode with you on it.
Yeah,
so they can go and check that out.
I like that plug with me. You make me feel so special. Thank you so much.
You already know, man.
My man. Hey, DH, man, appreciate you, my man.
Hey, thank you, man. Be blessed. Right.
We'll have you on again, my man.
No doubt.
Right. Again, man, that is my man, DH. DH, Win or Lose Radio Podcast. You make sure you subscribe to that podcast and check it out. Quarterly Reports, Armon Lee will join me to talk about the other potential NBA All-Stars after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. You dig? Deuces. folks, real talk. Wasn't like, for real, the NBA is better on NBC, right? It really is, right? The theme song, you don't get any better than that, man. You really don't. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally. We'll team Ray out. But I'm being dead ass serious, though. Like the NBA on, like the NBA on NBC, Costa, you know what I'm saying? Peter Vesey. And even like the play-by-play folks, man. I like Bill Walton. I like Bill Walton, and I like Snapper Jones. I like that combination. People like get on Bill Walton because he was high all the time, but I love Bill Walton. Anyway, right now I have host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee, on the line. What's up, Armand?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? And let me say this: I may be the number one Bill Walton fan in the world.
Thank you, Armand. People, you my man. Thank you.
Yo, people who don't like Bill Walton, I know you got to be lame in your real life, man.
What?
Because it don't make no sense.
It don't make no sense.
Who doesn't like to laugh?
Who doesn't? Who doesn't like to laugh? I mean, and every once in a while, he'll say something insightful, but his job wasn't to give you the, like, the X and O's. That was Snapper's job.
Right.
Like Bill was all about the, you know, he was comic relief. He was amazing.
Slim, watching Bill Walton call a game with your homeboys, your partners in the house.
It's amazing.
It's, like, the funniest thing in the world. Because you get the entertainment of watching the game. And then Bill just started lunching, talking about, you know what I'm saying, like
his
the Grateful Dead. You like, Phil, what? No, Bill Walton is the greatest color analyst of all time.
I actually, because, I mean, I wish ESPN, I know he was on ESPN for a little bit. I wish he had stayed. Because, I mean.
I'm not going to lie. Because I'm not the biggest college basketball fan.
Yeah.
But he and Dave Tash do like the Pac-12 games on regular, like Wednesday night. So, I don't know anything about college basketball with the exception of a few teams, but I can tell you so much about Pac-12 basketball because every week I watch Dave Pash and Bill Walton all those games, bro.
Yeah, I heard. He mentions it. He mentions his work with Bill Walton when he's doing NBA games, and he talks about how, like, Bill Walton's a trip. I want to catch a Bill Walton game. When he's doing a UCLA game, because again, I love Bill Walton. All right, we're gonna talk NBA All Stars. There are seven reserves on each side. Give me, you know, your whole list. Give me a list of some guys on the East.
Because in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
In the Eastern Conference, I think it's pretty cut and dry.
Okay.
Especially with Oladipo's injury, you know, shout out to Vic, little kid.
Oh, God,
you know, prayers up to him. Hope he bounces back. I'm sure he will. But with Vic not obviously being able to play, it opens up a spot for, I believe, D'Angelo Russell. The Nets, they've been playing amazing basketball since, like, the beginning of December. And I was fearful that, you know, they weren't going to get a spot because of some of the bigger names. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think now that Vic is gone, D'Angelo Russell definitely gets a spot representing the Nets. But outside of that, you're going to get Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Bradley Beal, obviously, for DC fans. I think you're going to get Kyle Lowry.
Okay.
I think you're going to get Nikola Vucevic.
Okay.
And who did I have going last? I don't even remember who I had in that last spot, but Blake Griffin.
So, Blake Griffin.
Those should be the seven players from the East. And I don't really even know if there's really an argument for any other player.
Yeah. See, you know what? We're real close. Like, it's only one player we're different. You went with Kyle Lowry. I went with Eric Bledsoe. Only because
Eric Bledsoe. You know what? Eric Bledsoe. Yeah.
I went with Eric Bledsoe. Their stats aren't. I mean, Lowry is better off on the assist total. I mean, I think Lowry at a point in time was leading the league in assists. I'm not sure if he still does. But I know he averages about 9 assists a game. And, like, I wanted to give Lowry the nod, but right now, just because Milwaukee has the best record in the East, and they were only going to have Giannis, I was like, you know what? That's not fair. And I know Middleton's out, right? Middleton's still out for – is Middleton
out? Yeah, and Bledsoe's been better than Middleton this season,
I think so, too. Yeah, I agree. So I was kind of like, you know what? Usually, I feel like the folks who select the reserves, they reward winners. And if you got the best record, they're going to give you two more than, like, giving you one.
Yeah, you know that's true. I mean, I actually, you know what, now that you said Bledsoe, you make a compelling argument, especially now that Milwaukee has surpassed Toronto,
mm-hmm.
and Kyle Lowry has missed a significant portion of the season thus far. You're right. I do think Bledsoe has a really strong chance. You could make the case for both of them, but I really feel – I really hope D'Angelo Russell
does make
an All-Star game.
I think he's making it. I think D'Angelo's making it. I'm with you. I think D'Angelo – I agree with everything you had, And the Kyle Lowry one, I had to like think about, because I had him initially on my list. I actually had him initially.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. But I think, to me, I think Russell should definitely make it. I mean, the Nets are over 500. That's self-explanatory.
Right.
Like, he should make
it. And without LeVert.
Yeah.
Harris LeVert got hurt in November.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like I said, I think they're like 21-5 since like December 6th. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're 20-6, something along those lines.
Yeah.
They're playing amazing basketball. And I hope that the play gets rewarded.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's going to be, I mean, the East, they're starting five. You got Kemba. I'm glad Kemba's starting. Big ups to Kemba. Giannis, Kawhi, Joel Embiid. I mean, Irvin. So, you know, I'm just happy. I'm happy for Kemba, because Kemba deserves it. Kemba puts on the show. He'll be excited for it being in Charlotte, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the ambassador. You know what I mean? It's going to be his weekend. Going to put on a show. You know he is. Mm-hmm. Kemba always plays his best when the lights shine the brightest. So he's going to get every opportunity to kind of, you know, he's obviously going to host the weekend, if you will. But on that Sunday night, he's going to get every opportunity kind of to showcase his talent. And it's huge, because not only is he entering free agency, so he gets the spotlight, because a lot of people do not watch the Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets a percent kicker, because he made the All-Star team this year. So he actually gets a bonus for his upcoming contract. So, you know, shout out to Kemba.
No, he deserves it. I mean, as a Georgetown fan, I know all about Kemba. He gave my team nightmares. You are listening to the Urban Sports Team right now. We have host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee, online. So let's do the same thing for the Western Conference. Who are your reserves for the West?
The West is a monster.
This is hard. The West was hard, bro.
So you and I can basically, like, for everyone listening, Wally and I did not talk about this. So in the East, we have everything down to a T with the exception of one pick.
Yeah.
We both had to go back and forth.
Yeah.
Bledsoe or, Lowry.
Lowry, yeah.
In the West, Slim, this gun is tough. So you know the locks are going to be Dame.
Yes, Dame. I got
Anthony
that.
Davis.
Yes.
And Russ. Nikola Jokic. Three guys.
What about Russ?
Solid.
You don't think Russ is like, solid?
I think Russ. So this is the thing, okay? So let me go through my list.
All right, go your list.
I think Russell Westbrook absolutely does make the All-Star.
Okay,
but I don't know if he's a lock.
Okay.
There are a bunch of guards who play really, really well.
Oh, I agree.
And although Russ is averaging a triple-double and Oklahoma City is doing really well,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if Clay and Russ both make it. So I don't know how the voters do it. But let me go through my list. So I got, like I said, Dame is a lock.
Okay. AD
is a lock.
Yeah.
Jokic is a lock.
True.
I have Gobert.
Okay, you have Gobert.
I think Rudy Gobert makes it.
Okay.
Just because Utah is playing so well, and, you know, you got to what we were talking about with the Nets. You want to represent, have some team be representative.
Mm-hmm.
I think Luka makes it.
Ooh.
I think, yeah. Luka's a killer.
I love Luka. Luka's an assassin, so you're not going to hear me say anything bad about Luka. He's an assassin.
Right. Who else? I had Russ, and I think I had De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, Fox.
I don't think
Fox.
It, but I hope he makes it.
He deserves
it. He's having a hell of a year.
Yeah, he's been.
No one saw Sacramento coming. No one saw it coming. And when Fox sits, that team falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they are legit in playoff competition. I mean, them and, the Clippers are battling it out for that last spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think De'Aaron Fox will make it, but I'm pulling for him, and I hope he does.
You know what? I mean, I like your list. You have a lot of my favorites. You know what's funny? Because I didn't put him on my list, this guy on my list, and I was really tempted to. Like, I feel like C.J. McCollum doesn't get a lot of appreciation in Portland, because I love C.J. McCollum.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he's not going to make it. I know he's not. But it's funny, because I had him on my list. I had to scratch him off. I was like, nah, I can't do it. I was like, I had Dame like you. I had Dame. I had Anthony Davis. I had Russ. I had the Joker. I had Clay. I had Carl Anthony Towns. And then I had this is the one I really like. I had LaMarcus Aldridge, because I felt like LaMarcus Aldridge had some games where, like, he was just so dominant. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
The game he had like almost 60. I was like, I got to reward somebody from San Antonio. You know, I got to reward somebody. And Carl Anthony Towns played so much. He played great ball after the trade. Now, I mean, you can. Like, I don't have an issue with, Gobert. I think Gobert is great. But I was like, I don't know. Like, it was between Gobert.
It's tough.
It's tough. The West is hard. Like, it's really hard.
Yeah. It's
really
it's
hard.
It's super tough, man. And you, to your point, Karl-Anthony Towns has been amazing.
Yeah.
And I think Karl-Anthony Towns probably does get the nod over Gobert. But when you look at how well Utah is playing, I mean, they're like two games or three games behind Oklahoma City.
I agree.
In that third spot.
Yeah.
So, and Donovan has not played. I mean, he's had a hell of a January, but for the entirety of the season, he hasn't played well.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they are doing so well is solely really responsible to Gobert.
I agree.
But I'm with you. If I had to bet, I would have bet that Cat gets in over Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
But again, much like De'Aaron Fox, I'm pulling for Gobert. He's one of my favorite players.
But you know what, though? You know what? I've been looking at a lot of like mock stuff and even, you know, like NBA TV, they did their own little list actually not too long ago. And a lot of people have Gobert. Like, he's the trendy one. And I, you know what? And my fear for Gobert, I'm with you. I feel like if any Utah player was going to make it, it should be Gobert. But for some strange reason, I do believe a Utah dude is going to make it. And I think it's going to be Mitchell. I just feel like it's going to be Mitchell. And it's not going to be fair because Mitchell only had a hot streak. Like, he had a hot streak.
Right.
Like, Gobert has been consistent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say that. Because we look at the whole season, the whole body of work.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
And you know what? And you know how it is, man. People go to points per game, right?
Exactly.
So Gobert doesn't score a lot of points, so people don't necessarily assume he's that great of a player, but he really is.
Yeah.
So I could see Donovan getting in over Gobert. I hope somebody from Utah does get the recognition. Gobert has never made an All-Star team.
I know.
Which is crazy to me.
I know.
So
I'm with you because I feel like Gobert is 15 and basically 13 a game. Plus,
he's a monster.
So, I mean, like, that's a double-double, and that's a nice double-double. That's not like a BS double-double. That's a nice double-double.
Right.
So, like, and when you look at, he's a guy that is arguably one of the better defenders in basketball. I mean, in terms of post-defenders, probably the best in terms of centers. So, like, when you look at his work, his body of work, he's an all-star. He is an all-star. It's just that, like you said, though, when you look at an all-star, you look at points. That's the same thing with Andre Drummond. You know what I mean? Like, he does so much great work on the boards, but his points per game isn't that impressive to you. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, is he really an all-star? But it's funny, though. If it was 90s basketball, he'd be an all-star. Because 90s basketball, they appreciate that. How many times did they come up and tell me like the all-star team?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I've had this debate with a few people. You know, Ben Wallace made like 5 all-star
exactly.
games. He's not in the Hall of Fame only because he didn't have a great point per game.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You know, those type of guys have value, but unfortunately they are underappreciated because, you know, PPG.
Yeah, look at the worm. Self-explanatory, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you could make like, back then you were appreciated. You know what I mean? Like, that role was appreciated. Nowadays, it's like, oh, man, we can get it. You're a dime a dozen, which isn't the truth. It's a lie, but that's how people look at it. Say, Armand, can you stay with us after the break?
Oh, man, you already know what time it is.
My man. All right. One time, Thurman was back in the ring Saturday night, but his showing wasn't that good to me. We'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Urban Sports Save for Ages. You dig? Doses. L. Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out, man. Great song. LL, man. Classic rap, man. I don't want to say hip-hop. Classic rap. It's hip-hop, but I'm going to say classic rap. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally, and host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee. Rand Wiltier out. Armand, how do you feel about L. Cool J, man, in the rap game, man?
Oh, man, he's a legend.
Thank you, man.
Like,
you, man.
I'm in my mid-30s, Slim, so I remember being a little kid. Families can't tell me nothing about early LL. You know what I'm saying? I remember watching I'm Bad. I had Kango, did a little jelly bean squash joint. Like, LL was a monster, Joe. Like, you know, he had to evolve his game. And, you know what time it is there. But, like, late 80s, mid 90s LL? Oh, come on now. Like, let's be real, Joe.
I call it versatility, man. And when Cannabis tried to step out there, LL showed him what's up. He showed what time it is. When Cannabis tried,
here's the crazy thing. I was a big Cannabis fan, too.
My brother was, too.
And then Rip the Jacker came out, and all my homeboys like, Slim, what's up with your boy? I was like, dog, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I'm telling you, my brother was the same way. He talked mad trash about me, because he was a Cannabis fan, and he was like, man, he going at your boy, he going at. And then when L got him, I was like, yeah, say something. Say
second
something.
Round knockout is a classic. Yeah,
what?
Round, I thought it was over for him. I was like, Sam, you do it in the house, it's over for you, L. Dog, I was wrong. Cannabis ain't been the same since. Where is Cannabis?
I know, right? Where is he? He was doing some battle thing online. That I saw not too long ago. You know, it's funny because I remember that diss track so hard because I had just got the DMX, it's Dark and Hell is Hot album, and it was, you know,
right.
They had it. They
it
had
was
it,
on the backside,
on the backside
this,
of
yeah.
it. So I remember, and I was cranking to D. I was like, yo, this is like the best album ever at that time. So I felt that album was the best album ever. And then I was like, oh, let me listen to L joint. I was like, oh, snap, this has made my whole year.
Hey, he's fast on that journey. I was like,
I was like, dang, L. Like, I thought you went to another route in too deep. All right, my bad, bro.
He had to remind me of Roy Jones. I must have forgot.
Exactly, like Roy. I was like, okay, L, you got it. I'll never doubt your game ever again. I'll never doubt your game ever again. All right, Keith One Time Thurman retained his WBA super welterweight title by defeating Josito Lopez in a competitive fight Saturday night. What did you think of the fight yourself?
All right, so this is tough, man, because the fight was very entertaining.
Yeah.
Josito Lopez, I remember when I found out he was fighting Josito Lopez, mm-hmm. and I was like, okay, that's a bit tough for your first. Keith hasn't fought in essentially 2 years.
I know, true.
And, you know, he looked good early on, and then you saw, like, yo, people. I use the box, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if everybody understands, like, training and then taking punches is one thing, but then actually scrapping and fighting is completely different. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. Keith Lopez does not have the power that One Time has, obviously, mm-hmm. but Lopez touched him, and then that whole seventh round, you're thinking, oh my God, Keith is done. Like, he looked like he was on Dream Street the entire round. He was able to survive and, you know, got the victory. But my larger point, or my larger takeaway is, he really should have been stripped of his title, man, because...
What?
Not,
I so agree with you, man.
Before, like, during his delay, because what happened, and it would have been for his best interest, because now, nobody wants to hear he needs another warm-up tune-up fight, when everybody knows he does need... He probably needs two more tune-up fights before he steps in there with Sean. He needs prayer if he ever steps in there with Arrow. But the thing is, nobody wants to give him the benefit of the doubt anymore. And had they stripped him, he would not be pressured into fighting a fight. He, at his prime, many people think that Sean beat him the first time.
I know.
So now you're going to be put in a position where you got to fight a dog in Sean. Like, Sean is a pit bull.
Yeah.
And Keith clearly is not ready to fight that. And he ain't stupid. He ain't even thinking about Errol. So, like, he's in a bad situation because the boxing organization, WBO, they should have stripped him of his title. So when he came back, he could get two, possibly three fights under his belt before he takes these top dogs. Because if he looks anything close versus Sean or Earl, even Manny,
exactly.
If that fight happens,
I'm telling
he's
you,
losing.
I'm telling
he's not going to beat them if he looks like he did on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. My man George tweeted, Thurman was decent, but the fitness to go 12 rounds wasn't there, and I don't think the power was there yet either, but that will come with time. You a believer, George, man. Believe in Keith One Time Thurman. I used to be a big Keith One Time Thurman fan. I mean, I do
I
like
think we all did.
I know. I love his punching power. I still do love his punching power. I mean, I like Thurman, but from what I saw, I expected more. You know what I mean? I know he was rusty.
Right.
I mean, I get it. You're rusty. I get it. You know what I mean? I get it. But still, I still expected more. And for that fight to be competitive, like, there's ways it can be a scare, but not as that was a very competitive fight, like overly competitive. Like, it shouldn't have been that close. Even with if he's looking at himself at that level, right? We're talking about at that level. He's looking at himself as a prize fighter. That's what he thinks of himself as, right? Even
right.
with Rust, like, you can look rusty but still look dominant, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
No,
that makes any sense. So, like, for him to almost be to for him to almost get knocked out to a point right. where with a minute left and some change and like look like you could be done, that amazes me. You know what I mean? Regardless, and you're right though. You can do all the training you want. When you get punched in real, like real yeah. content, like real contact in a real competitive setting, it's totally different. So, like, I just came out of that fight saying, you know what, dude? You called out Manny. Like, forget all them other dudes. Some other dudes will eat you alive. I'm not even talking about right. them dudes. Those young lions, them dogs right there. But you talk, like, you calling out Manny looking at like that. Like, regardless, and we're talking about old Manny, but still, old Manny will eat that right. alive. Like, that there, old Manny will eat yeah. that alive. Like, you're staying in front of Manny, one, you're not even boxing him. You're staying in front of him and allowing yourself to get hit at any angle. You, like, Lopez almost put you down. I don't care if Manny lost yeah. how much power you folks think he did. He's putting you down.
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. A lot to like your tweet, your listener, you said his name was George, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing with Keith, man, when I remember, because like, just like you, like anybody who's a boxing fan, I remember when Keith was coming up, and I was like, yo, this dude has it all. And he had all this power. He had lightning in his hands.
Yeah.
And then once he started fighting stiffer competition, those knockouts stopped happening.
Uh-huh.
And what you saw with Keith, he gets really, really sloppy with his hands.
Agreed.
He lets them go. Right, but he doesn't protect his chin, and he gets caught time after time after time with big punches.
Uh-huh.
We saw that he has a chin. He can deal with it. You know, Sean caught him a few times. Danny caught him a few times. Lopez caught him a few times, and he didn't drop on any of those. I don't believe yeah. He may have dropped against Sean. I don't remember. But yeah. I don't believe he got dropped.
I'm not sure he got dropped by
Sean. Right, okay, so, yeah, he didn't get dropped in any of those fights, but he got hit with some clean punches.
Mm-hmm.
But Manny... What we do know with Manny, even in his old age, Manny is, you're not going to outwork Manny.
Exactly.
His hands are just going to be hit. It's going to be nonstop. And Keith's defense is not nearly where it needs to be. It never was in his prime. And now, with him looking like he did on Saturday, obviously, like you said, those other two dudes, he don't want no problems with them right now. Mm-hmm. Not anywhere close. And I don't think he ever wants problems with Earl. We can get in that another time.
He don't want no Earl. But he don't want no Bud. He don't want none.
He don't want no nobody. I mean, nobody in that division yeah. outside of Bud wants smoke with Earl. But we yeah. all know that. but like with Manny being the less of the three fighters at this point in his career, I think Manny walks Keith if he looks anything like that.
Yeah,
and again, it's kind of unfair because he hasn't fought in 2 years. So it's like yeah. on one side, I'm like, dog, I'll give you that bail.
Yeah.
But on the other side. Slim, you've been having this belt for so long and you haven't done anything. I don't really have much sympathy to give you. Like, you gotta fight now, man.
Yeah.
It's like, they should have stripped it. They didn't. I don't want you to do all these warm-ups because at this point, you won't fight anybody in 2019 worth it. You know what? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And then that's the thing. Like, but see, this is my issue then. Like, don't call that. Don't call Manny out, though. Like, that's
right.
my thing. Like, you don't look good enough right now to be, like, say, you know what? I want to fight XYZ. There are other guys you can fight. Like, you can play it all. Say you want to fight freaking a local dude, like my man, Lamont Peterson or something. Play
Lamont,
it all.
Yeah.
Say you want to fight a gatekeeper. But, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but you know what this is, though, right? Because Manny just came off from selling almost half a million pay-per-view rides,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
Against Broner.
A Broner.
You know what I'm saying? Against somebody who hasn't beat anybody worth anything
Agreed.
In years.
Mm-hmm.
So Keith is like, dog, let me get this big payday versus Manny. I'm sure in his head he thinks he could beat him, you know, because boxers are delusional. They
yeah.
always think they can
Obviously,
win.
Obviously, man.
But even if he loses, he knows he's going to get a big payday because
yeah.
even in his older age, Manny Pacquiao is still a big-time draw.
Oh, easily. That's why I want to fight Mayweather. Exactly.
Yep. Nah, we don't need that again, man. We don't need them to run it
you
back.
You just said it for
Please.
Me. You just said it for me. You said Manny's a big draw. You got two draws who gonna fight each other.
I know, man. Just because you have it, like, yo, you can go to Burger King and order a double Whopper with cheese. Tell me you need to, man. You know what I'm saying?
True.
We don't need
That's
that.
That's true, dog. But
we don't need that.
Every once in a while, that cheat day is amazing, bro. It's amazing.
I know that's right.
You know what I'm saying? So, all right. So in your opinion, you feel like, is he ready for it? So do you think he needs another tune-up fight before considering fighting Manny? Because I don't even want, again, I'm not talking about Garcia and them young boys. I'm not talking about Spence
right.
Garcia. I'm not going to do that to Thurman. I feel it's disrespectful to those young boys. I really do. I feel like it's disrespectful.
Right.
But for somebody like Manny, like a, you know, a seasoned vet right now in the game, do you feel like that he needs a tune-up to fight before fighting Manny? Or, you know, if he get if he gets a good workout, I mean, a good camp, he'll be ready to fight Manny Pacquiao.
I'm sure in his head he thinks he's ready to fight Manny Pacquiao, but here's the thing, like, let's exclude, like, the young, like you said, the Lions out there, right?
Uh-huh.
He can get in there with a Brandon Rios, but I think Brandon Rios will probably make that's a tough fight for him.
I know.
Because Brandon Rios is another guy who punches hard.
And stays in the box.
Yeah, uh-huh. and Keith's defense is not what it... He before the layoff, he needed to work on his defense, but he was just such an athletic freak, it was okay. But right now, I wouldn't, like, maybe he gets in there with Chris Alfieri, but, like, nobody wants to see that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I know.
So, it's like, his options, maybe he can probably get Broner. But, again,
that's what
after what Broner did, people are like, dog, I don't want to see him fight anymore. You know what I mean? So, again, I keep going back to this point, man. In the macro sense, WBO did him a disservice by not stripping him.
Mm-hmm.
Because now there is no more patience. He's been holding on to this belt for 2 years, and, like, no one wants to see him fight another chump. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Jose Cito Lopez, but he didn't deserve a title shot. The only reason he got it is because they picked him because they thought it was going to be an easy fight, which it wasn't. So he's just really in a catch-22. So I'm assuming if Manny doesn't get a Floyd fight, I absolutely think Manny takes Keith Thurman. And
Manny,
I just
man.
Don't know if that's good news for Keith.
That's good for Manny though. It's all about building the resume. That's how I look at it, man. So as a pro Manny, as a Manny supporter, that's good for Manny. I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm a big Manny fan. So
and well, you know what? This is that thing, man. If Manny beats Keith, which I think you and I both agree that he will, I don't care who you are at 147, man. Let me make this decree right now on Urban Sports Team right now. For everybody listening, stop dodging the smoke, man. I know. Like, with Bud, I get it. He's top ranked as a Cold War, Bob Arum, Al Heyman. They got their thing. So I get why Bud and Arrow don't fight.
Yeah.
If you a PBC fighter,
they fight, man.
I don't want to hear nothing anymore, Slim. Mikey is stepping up 2 weight classes.
Yeah.
All the Alabamas, take the smoke with Arrow. If you got a strap, Arrow been calling everybody out
so
for
true,
5
though.
Years.
So true.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo,
look.
Stop it.
Look, what I will say about Manny, as you know, again, I feel like Manny's is baby steps for Manny. He's going to fight Earl. I hope we all do know that he's going to fight Earl eventually. It's going to happen. I think he's going to fight Earl. I think Manny, like we just talked about, boxers are delusional. I think Manny's that type of dude. You know what I mean? I think he's delusional.
Manny didn't want problems with Bud.
No, that's Bob. That's Bob, man. That's Bob. Bob is the jerk.
No, Bob was like this. This is perfect. Like, this is a passion of the torch. Bob was treating Manny like old Yeller. He was like, Manny, go out there. Let me take my new puppy and put you out to the back,
look,
right?
Man,
take you out.
Look.
And Manny was like, nah, Slim, I'm not fighting him. So
I feel Manny. I know why I feel Manny on that. Because what happened when Manny fought? What's his bald head dude? That was Bob's other golden child. And they screwed Manny with Manny.
Oh, you talking about Timothy Bradley?
Hell yeah. That was good. If I'm Manny, I ain't fighting none of Bob Arum's young bulls. Because even I do win, I'm getting the L. Either way, I'm getting the L.
I mean, I don't know if Manny was going to get out the ring alive if he fought Bud. And I'm certain, if he fights Spence, man, y'all better bring out the Undertaker song, the Purple Smoke, man. We about to have a homecoming ceremony for Manny,
man.
If he don't want no problems, though.
Look, I'm telling you, Manny is ignorant. That's the problem with Manny. You know what I'm saying? He's ignorant.
Manny needs money. That's the thing.
That's you. That's you, Dan. You're trying to support the whole Philippines. You're damn right.
Hey, yo, he's trying to fix that broke dump shot he got. Yeah.
Oh, that is the worst. Manny to stop trying ever. Manny should never look at a basketball. He should never look, touch, breathe on a basketball. That is
he don't need to step on a court ever.
Ever
again.
In life. Manny should never. That's disrespecting the great game of basketball.
I know.
You know what I mean? All the founding fathers of basketball are rolling over their graves right now. It's a shame when they saw Manny pick a basketball. But Armand, before I let you go, let our listeners know about the podcast, also how to subscribe to it, and also how they can catch you on social.
Absolutely, man. Again, thank you, Wally, for having me on again. You guys, check me out on the Quarterly Report podcast. That's QUARTER-LEE. Quarterly Report, that's how we spell it. Each and every Thursday, man, we talk about boxing, basketball, football, sports, movies, music. and everything in between, man. Check me out if you like me on this segment. Check me out each and every Thursdays, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, everywhere you listen to podcasts, check me out. And make sure you follow me on Twitter at Quarterly Show. Again, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-L-E-E Show. And follow me on Instagram as well, Quarterly Report. We got some really dope stuff there as well.
And also, folks, if y'all have Apple phones or, you know, Apple products, they give you updates on new episodes. So you should definitely subscribe, and you will be updated every freaking week. I'm always updated on Armand's podcast. So make sure y'all know. Make sure y'all subscribe to it ASAP. I don't hear no BS too. Y'all subscribe to it. You listen to the show, y'all subscribe to the joint. You dig? All right, cool. I just heard you dig back. Right, we dig. All right, cool. I hear y'all. Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Hey, Armand, thanks for giving me an on, man. I appreciate you, homie.
Hey, man, anytime, man. I'm going to have you on my show soon, bro.
Oh, anytime. You know, I'm there for you, man.
Appreciate you.
All right. Again, that is my homie, Armand Lee, host of the Quarterly Report podcast. So you make sure you subscribe to it. Again, I'm not BSing. Y'all better subscribe to it, like ASAP. All right? Y'all better do it. All right? Do it. Because while you don't BS, subscribe to it. All right. We're about to wrap the show up. Thank you all for listening. It was a great show. I appreciate all the guests who came on the show. You all made me special today. Thank you so much. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie. Thank you.